This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Today is the day the families of the four Idaho college students who were murdered finally get to address the man who says he killed their loved ones. Ryan Koberger, who is pleading guilty to the murder of the four, will be sentenced and families will be delivering impact statements. Koberger to be given four life terms with no chance of parole. Congress is closed after House Speaker Mike Johnson sent members home early from Washington amid continued growing calls for the full release of all the government files surrounding Jeffrey Epstein.
This has really caused a lot of chaos and drama in both chambers of Congress that Republicans really weren't expecting to have to deal with.
ABC's Jay O'Brien, Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche planning a trip to the prison where Epstein confidant and convicted sex trafficker Ghislaine Maxwell is being held to talk to her about the case. The rock world reacting to the death of Ozzy Osbourne at the age of 76. This is ABC News. The new U.S. attorney for New Jersey lasting only a couple of hours. Federal judges there decided not to appoint President Trump's pick, Alina Habba. They named another prosecutor, but then the Department of Justice fired her. Prices in the candy aisle are headed up.
Candy maker Hershey says it will be raising prices on its products that include cocoa, a key ingredient for Hershey chocolates, and brands owned by the company, including Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Hershey says the hike is due to ongoing increases worldwide due to the smaller harvest of the cocoa bean in West African nations that account for 70% of the global cocoa supply. Hershey, in a statement, says it has worked hard to absorb the costs of the unprecedented jump in cocoa prices and says the increase is not due to recent tariffs or trade policies. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Cops in California are searching for peacocks. The staff at a hotel near Sacramento says someone made off with peacocks that live there, each one worth about $2,000. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News. ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Today is the day the families of the four Idaho college students who were murdered finally get to address the man who says he killed their loved ones. Ryan Koberger, who is pleading guilty to the murder of the four, will be sentenced and families will be delivering impact statements. Koberger to be given four life terms with no chance of parole. Congress is closed after House Speaker Mike Johnson sent members home early from Washington amid continued growing calls for the full release of all the government files surrounding Jeffrey Epstein.
This has really caused a lot of chaos and drama in both chambers of Congress that Republicans really weren't expecting to have to deal with.
ABC's Jay O'Brien, Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche, planning a trip to the prison where Epstein confidant and convicted sex trafficker Ghislaine Maxwell is being held to talk to her about the case.
All aboard!
The rock world reacting to the death of Ozzy Osbourne at the age of 76. This is ABC News. The new U.S. attorney for New Jersey lasting only a couple of hours. Federal judges there decided not to appoint President Trump's pick, Alina Habba. They named another prosecutor, but then the Department of Justice fired her. Prices in the candy aisle are headed up.
Candy maker Hershey says it will be raising prices on its products that include cocoa, a key ingredient for Hershey chocolates, and brands owned by the company, including Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Hershey says the hike is due to ongoing increases worldwide due to the smaller harvest of the cocoa bean in West African nations that account for 70% of the global cocoa supply. Hershey, in a statement, says it has worked hard to absorb the costs of the unprecedented jump in cocoa prices and says the increase is not due to recent tariffs or trade policies. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Cops in California are searching for peacocks. The staff at a hotel near Sacramento says someone made off with peacocks that live there, each one worth about $2,000. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Matt Nair on Air.
Corrine Hendrickson, you mentioned a conversation with Ron Johnson, Corrine, about the need for child care in Wisconsin. How did that go?
I said, why don't you think we should fund? And he goes, I think an elegant solution, it would be for moms like you to stay home so the other moms can go to work. And I said, well, and I shouldn't get paid for that? And he just kind of stared at us. And I said, that tells me all I need to know.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network. The Maggie Dawn Show. Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who gives edible undies as gifts just because they taste good, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back, folks. I've only done that a couple of times, and there.
If you can say edible undies, you can say panties.
We're no unsatisfied customers. They're delicious. We're going to talk about a snack Ben just shared with me. But first, I'm going to give you a quick recap, folks. Our question of the night is, what poster was on your bedroom wall when you were growing up? We got to catch up on some texts. We'll do that in a bit. Kristen Leidy will be here at 7:20 talking about GBUFO, this really funky, cool festival they have in Green Bay. And Conrad and I were doing the show last year at this time, and we saw all these people in alien dressed as aliens walking by the studio, and it was pretty insane. But it's a music festival. They do some comedy, and Kristen is very involved in this year's festivities. So we'll talk to Kristen at 7:20. And what else, Conrad? What am I missing? Does that cover everything?
Well, we did have some good posters, you know?
We did have some good posters. I got to play catch-up on some of those texts. Should we bang a couple of those out?
Do it!
Let's. All right, Ben, what did you say your poster was?
Rocky.
All right. Oh, yeah, Rocky.
I also had, I don't know if you guys are hip to Peter Gabriel.
Well, yeah.
Well, you know, he had that third album that had like the melty face.
Yeah.
I had a poster of that for some reason.
Oh, that's a cool poster. You know, I had a poster when I was in college of the Bodines. And
yeah, and their melty face.
No, but it was like a kind of a blurry poster. And they were on a breakwater in Lake Michigan. It was overcast and the wind was blowing and they were playing. It was one of the coolest posters I've ever seen. So I guess I did have some posters in college, but I've graduated. Conrad has a sports museum in his bedroom as an adult, yes, which I think is fun.
You know, it's all that stuff's going to the man cave when I get a house. So
you got it tucked away just for the man cave.
Exactly.
Everett in Sun Prairie says Led Zeppelin Houses of the Holy album cover blacklight poster mid-90s still up. And did I read that text already?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. But then we had it seems like 8 people have mentioned black lights tonight. So maybe that's why I'm confused. He says mid-90s, still up in my basement. Fantastic, Everett. Thank you, buddy. We missed a call from Ollie. I see, Con. That's terrible. Love Ollie. MT from Monona, the Grove. She's in this, or he or they are in the 608. Wall posters when I was a kid included Metallica's Black Album, Tupac, and Terminator 2 movie poster. Well, that's some serious poster firepower. Were you a fan of Metallica, Ben?
Not really, no.
Yeah. You know what? I've kind of become more of a fan as I've gotten older and as they've gotten older. They just seem like cool guys.
They do seem like
cool guys. I never really listened to them, though, back in the day. I know that.
Pete, we actually got Ollie on the phone right now.
Oh, we do?
Oh, yes.
Okay, put Ollie through.
Hi.
Hi, Ollie. How are you?
I'm doing
Say hi
good.
To Ben Reiser.
Hey, Ollie.
Hi, Ben. How are you?
Good, thanks.
What's going on?
We weren't allowed to have posters of rock stars or anybody on our thing. We had to have pendants of all the tourist traps and states my parents took us to.
Oh, nice. Well, that's kind of cool. That's
yes,
something different.
It was, and we enjoyed them. But I wanted to say also, you talked about Richard Farnsworth. He played in Anne of Green Gables, and he was the older gentleman, brother of the lady that took Anne in. It was he was wonderful in that movie.
He's great. He's got like so much soul or heart in every line he says. He's fantastic. Thanks so much for the call, Ali. Much appreciated.
Okay,
have a
guys,
great
have
night.
A good night. Bye-bye.
Thank you. So I could not agree more. Steve from Florida, Conrad's dad says, my poster on the wall growing up was Aunt B from the Andy Griffith Show. That's great. he's joking. He says, just joking. Posters on my bedroom wall were the now famous Farrah Fawcett poster. I'm with you, Steve. And the 1966 Green Bay Packers Super Bowl I team poster. All right, that's some pretty good poster firepower. We'll continue with your text. Let us know. Be part of the fun, folks. You can text us on the stream or the app or the text line. Ben Reiser is here. We have a few more minutes with Ben. We were talking about Superman. So we're both kind of, it was fine.
I thought it was fine. I thought it did the job. I'm a big James Gunn fan. I really love those Guardians of the Galaxy's movie, Guardians of the Galaxy movies. I really like that HBO show he did. What's it called with John Cena? Conrad, what is that?
Peacemaker?
Peacemaker. Love that show. I even like the movie that he did for, I guess it's DC, right? Suicide, his version of the Suicide Squad, which is a total bomb. Everyone hated it. I like it. So good for him. Good for James Gunn.
I think it's weird, though, when you bring those crazy elements to Superman that I don't know that they need it. And here's another thing. I love Wendell Pierce. And the sports reporter for the Daily Planet and the girl with the blonde hair. I don't think you needed any. Wendell Pierce had like five lines.
I do feel like there's a whole other movie that was probably shot with those three. Like when the Blu-ray comes out, there'll probably be like an hour and a half of footage of them. Cause it really feels like Wendell Pierce like wound up mostly on the cutting room
floor. Probably. And that makes sense. Otherwise, why even,
it still feels, it's very overstuffed. It's chaotic, but I still would take it over those Zack Snyder Superman movies.
Yeah.
Which are just so solemn and boring and just so serious. All that Justice League crap. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Give me Crypto, the dog, and chaotic stuff with Nathan Fillion and all that other stuff. I'll take that over that Zack Snyder stuff.
That's the voice of Ben Reiser, folks. He is one of the programmers of UW Cinematheque and the Wisconsin Film Festival.
But I've loved almost every summer blockbuster I've seen this year. I don't know. Right. I'm really in sync with this year's offerings. F1, I thought was a lot of fun.
Okay.
You didn't like that one either.
No, I kind of feel the same about F1 and Jurassic Park as I do about Superman. There's a lot that, like Jurassic Park, for example, CGI is great. There were some jumps in there that but give me a character that is somewhat interesting. Like you've got Scarlett Johansson, not Idris Elba, Mahershala Ali. And I think I said this to Rob Thomas. I wanted like a guy from Jaws, the grizzled guy who had been fighting the dinosaurs for 30 years, something interesting, not these characters with these lame backstories. Cause the dinosaurs are great. Yeah. And I felt that way about Formula One. I'm kind of the same on all these movies. Like there were really cool moments. The racing scenes were cool, but it was basically a video. It didn't, I don't know.
Yeah, I get that. You have valid points there. Right. I didn't care. I didn't go to any of those movies thinking there were any characters I'd enjoy. And I was happy that I had a dog I liked. In Jurassic World, I liked that little girl. I thought she was funny. And she named her dinosaur Dolores, which cracked me up.
Speaking of Jaws, I did with my kids when they were home, I watched that again. And Ben, I probably haven't watched that in 25 years.
How is that not an every year experience?
I know it should be. I was surprised. It was different than I remembered it. Like I forgot how quickly they got into the story. I mean, obviously with the girl at first, but then right away it's pandemonium and it was just it's a really excellent movie.
Forget everything. Forget all the Jaws stuff in Jaws. That first, after the first sequence, all that stuff that takes place in Amity, all the stuff of Roy Scheider running around, grabbing the paints and the posters, taking that ferry out to the thing, all that stuff paints such an amazing, it's such a great world-building thing. All those, all those supporting characters, the old guys, everyone yelling at Roy Scheider for one thing or another, his right. wife, his kids. It's so great. I mean, forget the whole thriller part of it. Just kind of a wonderful, like, hey, yeah. this is life in a small town.
And you know, I was amazed, too, that they didn't overdo it with the shark. Like, there was mm-hmm. just enough of yeah. the shark.
Well, they couldn't get it to work.
They couldn't get it to work. But even when they, like, it still looks great. You know, yeah. 50 years later, it's like, yeah. okay, I believe that. Yeah. Even
give me that over CGI. Give me a rubber shark over CGI.
Definitely. Well, let's get to a couple of, I have to ask you. I saw this, James Ronde was on recently, and he told me, he said, you're kind of into film noir. And I said, yeah, I was on a film noir kick at the time.
Yeah.
He told me about a movie called Detour, which I had never seen.
Oh, yeah.
What a great movie.
Yeah.
It was so good. In the end, the way everything came together.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't more people watch film noirs?
I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of them out there, and there's a devoted following. I have the Criterion Channel because, you know, I'm one of those hipsters, and I've been catching up. There's a bunch of – all I do on the Criterion Channel is find out what's leaving at the end of the month and just try to watch as many of those as I can. Good. And this month, at the end of the month, all these Argentinian film noirs are leaving. There's like 5 or 10 of these movies that were made in Argentina in the 50s. They're so great. So amazingly directed, wonderfully acted, brilliant plots. There's one called The Beast Must Die. There's one called If I Should Die Before I Wake. So great. But yeah, Detour, Edgar Ulmer, who also directed this crazy movie with Boris Karloff and Bela Lugosi called The Black Cat. Huh. He was a great B-movie director who unfortunately didn't make as many movies or have as big a budget as he probably should have. But he made the most with the least. Detour is like, every shot in that movie is like, wow, this is a really cool shot.
Yeah. That diner, the first couple minutes of the movie, I love them. I'm such a sucker for a movie with a great diner at night.
Mm-hmm.
Even in a small town, it's open.
Yeah.
And weird characters come in there. It's just like a place you could lose yourself in. And the aesthetics, almost 100 years later, and some of these are fantastic, you know? And The Killing I just watched, too, and that
also
had...
Also with a late-night diner.
Yeah, with... I just pulled it up, Sterling. He was...
Sterling
I
Hayden.
Know him from Captain McCloskey.
Yes.
The Godfather.
Right.
it's bugging me. Let's get a couple TV things in here before you leave, too, Ben. White Lotus Season 3, thoughts?
Terrible.
Really?
I hate it. I didn't like Season 2 either. I'm a Season 1 and done for White Lotus.
I love Season 1. It's still my favorite, easily. But I like all... I just like Mike White, you know.
I love Mike White. This is my least favorite thing of his as it progresses. But, you know, Walton Goggins, I'll watch him in anything. So it's not like it didn't have its pleasurable moments. But for the most part, I was like, why am I watching these people? I don't care.
Right? They're all just rich jerks and most of the time. What about Department Q? We both watched that.
I did not.
Oh, I thought you saw Department
Q. I can't
Q.
wait.
Okay.
That's on my list of things I have to get to.
All right, we'll have to talk about that next time you're here.
Did we talk about The Diplomat?
Yeah.
Okay.
I watched the first season, and
I said, you have to watch the second season.
It's better.
There's two seasons. Yeah, it's even better.
All right, I'll go back to that. I did like it. I don't know why.
There's a season 3 coming up.
I started a show on HBO called Love and Death with Jesse Plemons and Ashley Olsen.
Oh, I don't even know that.
It's about these two church-going couples in the 70s that have an affair.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and the music, and they're playing, like, they're giving each other eyes, and, like, the Bee Gees are playing. Like, mm-hmm. it's a really cool. And I'll go back to that, too. I'm great at watching one episode of something just to see if it resonates.
Well, I'm really enjoying, speaking of shows where you don't have to watch the whole thing, it's Poker Face.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen a Peacock. Few of those,
yeah.
Those are great, and they're all, like, standalone. It's like old Columbo episodes.
But does it bother you at all? Like, I do like the show.
Yeah.
But she just... happens to end up in a caper every week wherever she goes. I have trouble with that a little bit.
I hear you. I think season 2, there's like season 2 to me feels more like, did you ever watch that show High Maintenance on HBO?
No.
About the guy who sells drugs in Brooklyn?
Uh-uh.
Oh, you got to check that out.
All right.
Every episode's like a short story, you know, and the guy just sort of drifts in and out of those stories. And that's kind of what happens on Poker Face too. It's like you get like a nice standalone story with characters you're never going to see again. And then she kind of wanders in. Solves the mystery, which is the least interesting part of it.
Right.
Wanders off. But
it is cool.
Stuff.
It has like a Better Call Saul. I like the way they kind of mm-hmm. start each episode is really cool. Ben, thank you, buddy. Thanks for filling in short notice.
Oh,
you're the lefty
pleasure.
Out of the bullpen, man.
Hey,
this
I
is
can
huge.
Walk to this studio. Let's do it here all the time.
Must be nice.
Yeah.
Ben Reiser, ladies and gentlemen, check out Cinematech and look for more news coming from the Wisconsin Film Festival, which is right around the corner.
Oh, sure.
Be honest.
Yeah. Thanks, right. Pete. Thanks, Conrad.
You got it. Kristen Lighty's coming up next. It's Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt and Air on Air.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Veterans, have you explored your benefits? The Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs is here for Wisconsin veterans and their families. Please visit WISVets.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs, with funding provided by the Milwaukee Brewers and the Brewers Community Foundation.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba,
the founder of Wonderfully Wisconsin. He's been on the show before, but tonight he's here to make the popcorn pick of the week, Mr. Paul Vandenplas.
The Peanut Butter Falcon.
Oh my God, I love when people pick a movie I know nothing about.
A campy comedy buddy story, really just a heartwarming message.
Paul picked a movie that I've never heard of that gets excellent critic and audience reviews. Very well done, Mr. Wonderfully Wisconsin.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Matt and Air on Air.
Corrine Hendrickson, you mentioned a conversation with Ron Johnson, Corrine, about the need for childcare in Wisconsin. How did that go?
I said, why don't you think we should fund? And he goes, I think an elegant solution, it would be for moms like you to stay home so the other moms can go to work. And I said, well, and I shouldn't get paid for that? And he just kind of stared at us. And I said, that tells me all I need to know.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Coming to you live from beautiful downtown Madison, overlooking State Street on a gorgeous summer night here in our state's capital. Conrad holding down the fort back in Green Bay. Conrad's dad had a poster of Aunt Bee up in his bedroom. I found that very humorous, Conrad.
That, find something new about my dad every time he texts in.
Something you don't need to know, really, too. Monica from Mount Horeb, she's in the 608, says, Cincinnati chili. Chili with spaghetti is a thing there. Skyline is known for quantity over quality, I think. But we were there last year and ate at Camp Washington Chili. It's a diner that's been there over 75 years, and it was cheesy and delicious. Just went to North Dakota 2 weeks ago. Your comment is spot on, but you could say Theodore Roosevelt National Park. We saw a whole herd of bison there. I would think more people would think of Fargo for the wood chipper incident in the movie. Yes, that is what they should have said for North Dakota. Fargo, the movie. But they went with nothing. It makes them think of nothing when they think of North Dakota. David from Richland Center says he had Charlie's Angels on his bedroom wall, a poster. David's in the 608. Thank you, buddy. Tom from New Berlin says, if vinyl album covers count, I had Led Zeppelin, or I had Zeppelin, Floyd, etc., mid to late 70s groups. Fawcett rocked. Dads loved it. Oh, what does that mean? Your dad's coming in and perving on your posters? Great stuff, Tom, as always. All right. This is exciting, folks. We were supposed to have my next guest in studio, but we did a little switcheroo at the last minute here. Pardon me. And I ended up doing the show from Madison this week. So we still wanted to have her on. She was still gracious enough to share her talents with us tonight and her time. She's a very funny comedian based out of Green Bay. We've had her on the show many times before, and she's one of our faves. Kristen Lighty joins me now over the stream. Hey, Kristen.
Hello. Welcome to my house. Hi.
Do you have any posters on your wall?
You know, I have a framed photograph of the old Fort Howard Mill and a bunch of comedy posters.
Oh, okay. No Hasselhoff or Sean Cassidy or anything like that?
No, I'm not big on the heartthrobs, I guess.
Unless your heartthrob is Heritage Hill or whatever you just said there. That's a good. Who are your comedy posters, Kristen? Who are you?
They're mainly shows I've been in and festivals I've participated in and places, shows where I had a really good time. So I'll save the poster and kind of frame it for sentimental reasons.
That's excellent. Let's start there, because you just opened for someone, you know, a comedy legend at a local club there in the Fox Valley. Tell us about Bobcat Goldthwait. How was that week?
It was amazing. Bobcat is one of the nicest, most down-to-earth, thoughtful people I've ever met in comedy. So I always really try to make a priority to get to work with him. But, you know, I know a lot of people want to. So,
yeah.
But it's just, it's so amazing to get to work with people that you want to sit and watch every night.
Oh, yeah.
And you'll notice all the differences, all the nuance, the way he'll interact with the crowd a little differently each night. It feels really lucky to be there.
How is he doing these days? Like he's still working, which is great. He's so funny. He's such a talented guy. He's made movies. He's done walk-on roles. Where is he at? I don't know if you're friends with him or not, or if you get to talk to him, or what is your sense at least of, does he seem happy at this point in his career? Because I have a lot of respect for him.
Yeah, he seems really happy. He's got a great relationship with his daughter, who has done amazing things as well. She does a lot of costuming. She did the costuming on Bridget Everett's show and that movie, My Old Ass. And then Bobcat's working on a few different projects in terms, I think he mentioned like a new film. And, you know, he reunited with a former love and got married and moved to Ireland. So he's very happy, I'd say.
So he lives in Ireland and he's coming to Northeast Wisconsin to do a club. Like I thought he would be like still at theater stage. You know what I mean? Like 1,000 seats, 500 seats or whatever. It's kind of cool that he's still working clubs. I bet he has a blast with it, you know?
He does. And I just feel really lucky that people do come to Appleton, you know, and we can see their acts.
Yeah.
You know, I think he comes for like a month or two at a time and does shows and then heads back home.
Okay. I tried to get him. I host a show on PBS Wisconsin called Director's Cut. And I tried to get Bobcat and Joel Murray on years ago because Bobcat made a film called God Bless America. About gun violence, and it's so great. And I was like, we just couldn't work it out. Like the company that owned the rights to the movie weren't really willing to play ball, but I was literally salivating at the idea of getting to interview Bobcat because I thought he would have made such a great guest because he's just
funny and genuine. I think my takeaway from the weekend was I found it hilarious the way my father pushed me out of the way to get a photo with Bobcat.
Did he want you in the photo too?
Not at first. And then, you know, one of my relatives said, we could all be in it. And my dad was like, oh, yeah, okay.
I guess if you insist, yeah. We're going to get into GBUFO after the news. But tell us first, before we go to break, what else do you have coming up, Kristen? You're a very busy comedian. Where are you performing next or where can people see you?
Yeah. So besides the fest in August, I'm going to be doing a few shows with Brian Posehn in Minneapolis and Eau Claire, which I'm very excited about. And then I'll be featuring for him here in September at the Skyline Comedy Club.
Very nice.
Yeah. And then, you know, a few other local shows around town. And I'll be at the Blue Whale Comedy Fest in August in Tulsa, opening for Hannibal Buress, which I'm very excited about.
Oh, he's so funny. Oh, wow. That's a great show.
Yeah, well, I think so those are the big things.
they're lucky to have you on the show, too. You're so funny, and I love having you on the show. So when we come back after the news, we're going to talk to Kristen about this great festival in Green Bay that I still fully don't understand. So Kristen is going to fill us in, talk about what she's doing there, and tell us where you can find more information, because it looks like an absolute blast. We'll do that, and we'll read your text when we come back. Stick around, folks. It's live, Nightlight, live from Madison. I'm Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Today is the day the families of the four Idaho college students who were murdered finally get to address the man who says he killed their loved ones. Ryan Koberger, who is pleading guilty to the murder of the four, will be sentenced, and families will be delivering impact statements. Koberger to be given four life terms with no chance of parole. Congress is closed after House Speaker Mike Johnson sent members home early from Washington amid continued growing calls for the full release of all the government files surrounding Jeffrey Epstein.
This has really caused a lot of chaos and drama in both chambers of Congress that Republicans really weren't expecting to have to deal with.
ABC's Jay O'Brien, Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche, planning a trip to the prison where Epstein confidant and convicted sex trafficker Ghislaine Maxwell is being held to talk to her about the case.
All aboard!
The rock world reacting to the death of Ozzy Osbourne at the age of 76. This is ABC News.
Baseball in Seattle. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers wrapping up their series today with the Mariners. Milwaukee losing last night 1-0, ending their 11-game winning streak. Pat Murphy pulled Jacob Mizoranski out in the fourth inning, even though he had a shutout going.
You can't give him that big of a rest and then let him go out there and have his normal start.
NBA. When Damian Lillard was traded to the Bucks 2 years ago, his wife filed for divorce. His three children remained in Portland. Lillard signed a deal over the weekend to return to the Trailblazers.
I didn't say nothing to him about it until Saturday when I actually signed, and they were with me. We got back in the car to go home. I got to a red light and I just turned around and my daughter was looking at me, and I told her, and she was like, wait, so like we don't have to get on the airplane to Milwaukee no more? I was like, yeah, y'all don't got to get on the plane no more. And she was like, so you're going to be at your house in Portland the whole time? I was like, yeah. And she was like, what? Like, she was...
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Okay, Sandler fans, buckle up. Happy Gilmore 2 is on the way, thrilling golf and comedy fans across the world. Adam Sandler recently told Collider there were serious rewrites of the script due to the passing of Carl Weathers, who played Chubbs Peterson, Gilmore's mentor in the first film in 1996. Weathers passed away last year from a heart attack, forcing the production of Gilmore to adapt. Sandler says there are many tributes to Chubbs in the second installment. Happy Gilmore 2 drops on Netflix Friday, July 25th. Sad news from the world of Ted Lasso, at least if you're a certain actor. Apple TV announced Monday that Jamie Tart will not be lacing them up for AFC Richmond. Actor Phil Dunster will not return in the role, at least not as the series regular. Deadline reports that the actor had already taken a role in a still-untitled HBO show with Steve Carell, creating a scheduling conflict. Season 4 of Lasso is currently filming in Kansas City. You heard that right, not in the UK. There is no release date announced yet for the new season. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be hot and muggy today. The heat index pushing 100 or better, with an actual high in the low to mid 90s this afternoon. A few thunderstorms late this afternoon and tonight. Some of those could be strong to severe, with hail and wind being the main threat tomorrow. Partly cloudy thunderstorms with a high of 84. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 73.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
We've got Chris from Nina. What's your thought this afternoon, Chris?
Oftentimes you have only one set of viewers that will watch Fox News or watch CNN. What I really actually love and respect from all your viewers is the fact that you tend to have viewers that think on both sides of the aisle. To be open-minded, you need to be willing to listen and learn and possibly change your mind. You don't have to change your mind, but just being willing to listen.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
All of these things should sound off alarm bells bigly. And you see what Donald Trump's doing with Harvard and with Columbia. You see what he's doing with Paramount. ABC capitulated in a lawsuit to Trump. We're America. We're not Hungary. We're a democracy. We're always going to be a democracy. Yeah, that's what they thought in Hungary. The way that Viktor Orban and the right wing gained power was by using a little bit of power to get more power, to use pressure on networks.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Todd Alba.
Hey everybody, join us next time. We'll be talking about the University of Wisconsin system and K-12 public education with Trigvi Olson as guest host, State Senator Keller Royce, and Reed Galen. Join them.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Great to have you with me on this Tuesday night as we broadcast live from downtown Madison. Conrad holding down the fort back in Green Bay. Our current guest, Kristen Leidy, was supposed to be in the studio, but I'm not there tonight. So I appreciate your flexibility. Kristen, thank you for joining us anyway over the stream. Great to have you here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, anytime. Always fun. Tell us about GBUFO. Because I think I said earlier last year, we saw everybody walking by the window dressed like aliens. And I thought it was like an alien fest or something. And then, or maybe that was a different festival, but this really has nothing to do with aliens. It's a music festival, right?
Yes. Okay. So it's named for our local record shop, which is the Green Bay UFO Museum and Gift Shop, which, you know, we have bands play there, comedy shows there, and you can get all your local music on vinyl there. So it's a festival that Tom Smith and Pierre Jacques and I put together.
Wow. Okay. So
I don't they do the bulk of the work.
But you said you're curating a show there. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so this will be the second year that I'm bringing comedians from my record label from all over the country in. We got folks from Austin, Chicago, Phoenix, Bloomington, Indiana. And they'll be doing probably a half hour, 45 minutes of comedy each day. And then so they'll get a taste of these comedians. And then Saturday night, I'm doing a standalone show at the Mad World Artist Collective, which is on Mason. And all the comedians in the fest will be able to do a longer set there. So if you like what you see, you can come to the longer show Saturday night.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds like so much fun. So are there not people dressing like aliens? Did I have my festival? I'm thinking of Fringe Fest, I think. Does that make sense?
Fringe Fest is like a collection of different acts from all over the country. I think there might have been a Comic-Con happening at the Resch.
All right, maybe.
Yeah,
maybe I just see aliens everywhere I look. Okay, so how did this festival start? It sounds like so much fun. I was looking at the Facebook page before, and it just seems like great vibes. You know,
it is. It's just a celebration of all the bands in Wisconsin and the Midwest that make our scene so fun and exciting. We're gonna have Holly and the Nice Lions playing Saturday night. Boris the Sprinkler is reuniting Friday night, and they're doing Saucer to Saturn, the full album. Giant's Chair is reuniting, and the Statics are flying in from Seattle. So, some bigger names.
Wow.
Too.
Nice. So how did this start? How did the festival start?
Yeah, well, I think that is Tom's creation. Tom Smith, Time Bomb Tom. He's been running shows in Green Bay since, I believe, the 80s, I want to say, he started the concert cafe shows, and that was like an institution for me as a teenager. I shudder to think who I'd be without punk rock in my life. And yeah, it was just kind of the scene grew and everyone's kind of stayed in touch. And this is sort of a statement on that.
That's so cool. Why isn't there a comedy club in Green Bay, a full-time comedy club?
I don't know. I would like one as well. You know, we have Comedy City in De Pere. They do a lot of improv and some stand-up sometimes. And the Meyer has been booking more stand-up, which has really excited me. I don't know. I run pop-up shows called Don't Tell. And those are kind of like based on the premise, like the surprise, the location is a surprise. And you can BYOB, which I think people love more than the comedy. But, you know. But those always sell out. So I feel like there is a market for comedy here.
Yeah, it's never like, I know Frank Herman's, he and his brother, when I was a stand-up in the 90s, I worked their club. It was right down on Washington Street, down the street from WGBW. But for whatever reason, and I think a Funny Bone came to town briefly, but that didn't make it. It just seems like there should be a club there. And I know that's easy for me to say that, but it seems like it could certainly sustain itself, I would think.
Yeah, because I feel like people from Green Bay don't go to Appleton, you know, so I don't think it would infringe on that skyline in Appleton.
Yeah. Well, we could put our heads together. I'm sure we'll think of something there.
Somebody pay me to open a club.
That's the voice of Kristen Lighty, a very funny comedian based in Green Bay. She joins us periodically here on Nightlight, and we're talking to her about Green Bay, the GB UFO Fest. Tell us about the venues. I was reading about the venues. They sound really cool.
Yeah, so Friday we're going to be at Badger State Brewery, which is amazing, phenomenal space. And they're always doing cool community events there, so it's awesome to partner with them. And then Saturday we're going to be at Riverside Ballroom, which is such an honor to be on that stage. Like, so many huge names have performed there. You know, I saw Fugazi there when I was 16. That absolutely blew my mind. So my punk rock teenage self is very excited about that. And then the later show I'm doing is sort of, it's a new venue. It's called the Mad World Artists Collaborative, and it's across the street from Happy Joe's on Mason. And it's so cool. They have local artists with all their work and wares on the wall, and they do a weekly open mic for folks. They do music shows. You know, the Uncanny Bazaar does a lot of the artwork there. So it's very like horror centric and fun. It's really unique, and I hope it really takes off. It's a great place.
That's so cool. Here I see too, the key feature, Boris the Sprinkler, as you mentioned, performing Saucer to Saturn. That's another thing. Like, I'm like, there has to be a UFO motif here. I don't think I was that far off, like, with some of this. I just got confused.
It's like Fight Club. We just don't talk about it. It's
there. Right. GB Green Bay UFO takes place this coming weekend, folks, July 25th and 26th. Kristen Lighty's fingerprints are all over it. So check it out. And what do people need to do? Where can they go to find out more information? Is there a cover charge? How do they take the next step?
Yeah, so you can get a 2-day pass to the GB UFO Fest, and you can, it's kind of fun because you're buying tickets in real life. There's no internet purchase for this. You can get them at GB UFO in Green Bay, Irving Place Records in Milwaukee, Mad City Music in Madison, and Eroding Winds in Appleton and Oshkosh. And if you want tickets to the late show on Saturday, 8 p.m. at the Mad World Artist Collective, you can just type in on Eventbrite, Mad World Artist Collective, and the tickets will come up.
That's so great. Kristen Lighty, we have a clip of your stand-up. Can we play this? Just a little teaser of what people might experience if they go see you at GBUFO. Here's Kristen Lighty doing comedy.
So yeah, sober dating. Wow. Ooh, I'm glad I got a boyfriend because that was rough. Yeah, I joined soberandsingle.com up in Green Bay, and it was just me.
Con, that's all we have?
Yes.
It's like 7 seconds of comedy.
You got the real thing right here. You know.
That's all right. We left him wanting more. That's so funny. And now you talk about that in your act. How long have you been sober?
Over 7 years now. It was 7 years in January.
Good for you. It's and a half years for me, and I don't know if I like it. I'm going to be honest. I don't, I just kind of quit on a whim And I'm loving it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, kudos to you, though. That's impressive.
Congrats to you, too. I would say not waking up hungover is pretty great.
That was the big thing. Like, I never would drive really, like, but I would have a couple glasses of whiskey and play video poker at night and wake up and just be like, I can't do this every night. And then I just kind of tried it and I liked it. Now I'm here. I don't know if I'll quit forever, but that's impressive, though. 7.5 years. Have you gotten funnier since you've been sober? Or is it easier or harder to write jokes?
I think it's easier because you're more present and you feel more confident. And the reason I quit drinking is because it was just taking too much time out of my life. I was wasting too much time either getting drunk or being hungover. And, you know, I love my day job. I love doing comedy. And so, like, trying to, like, maintain two full-time careers, like, there was just no room for being hungover.
Right. Right. You still have things you want to do in your life. It's like, mm-hmm. you know, if I'm 80 and want to kick back and have a couple drinks, I'm not really missing out on the scene. But, you know, it's different when you're our age, you know. You just mentioned your day job. And we talked about this a little bit last time. Can I ask you about that again? Are there any new developments? Oh, yeah. You are the director of the Wisconsin Education Association Council. Which gig is more work, stand up or that?
I would say definitely being an organizing director is a bit more work, you know. Comedy is my creative outlet. And, you know, I've done union work for nearly 20 years now. And my go-to line is no one ever calls us when they're having a great day. So, you know, to bear witness to every bad thing that's happening to people and learning not to marinate in it took some time. But, you know, it is... It's challenging in a good way. Like, I love that my work is something different every day. I'm always working with new, cool people. Yeah, I really love it.
And I'm asking this for purely personal reasons because my wife is a kindergarten teacher, but are teachers responding to the unions again? Because I was surprised back in, and I don't really get into these topics too often, but because it's close to home, I couldn't believe how many teachers were in favor of what happened 15 years ago. Like, this affects you. You know, it's crazy. That must have made someone like you crazy.
Yeah, I was just kind of starting. I was living in Chicago when Act 10 kind of crashed into the political scene here. Yeah. And it is disappointing how many people voted against their own self-interests and values. But I think now we're seeing the uptick in response to that. Like, new educators coming in are pumped about their union, even though there are some restrictions with the law. There's still a lot we can do in terms of collective action and turning out to meet the demands that are what students need and educators want. So I feel like it's an exciting time, but I could nerd out about that all day. So.
Well, my wife still pays her dues every month, and I'm proud of her for that. But I also, it is crazy when I remember people say, well, we've got to do our part. Like, you're being swindled. This isn't like, hey, here's some money that, you know, I mean, you only value yourself as much as you value yourself, you know.
Well, and essentially, like, with the savings they created, that last surplus we had on the budget was like $7 billion. And then they gave it back to citizens and it turned out to be like $125 a month, which take that from me. Fund schools, you know?
Right. Yeah, right. Exactly. But that's how I am too. I'm always like, I like knowing, you know, nobody likes to pay high taxes, but I'm happy to know that teachers or firefighters or whatever, this is doing good. Parks, libraries. I know people have a mentality that it's just like, you know, it's crazy.
Yeah, we need to lift each other up, not tear each other down. And just because someone else has good benefits doesn't mean we should all not have good benefits, you know?
Well, keep doing the great work you're doing, both in your day job and your nightclub job. They're both outstanding, and you're great, obviously, at both of them. So thank you for being on the show. And next time you're coming in to the studio, we'll do that again. It's always more fun when you're there in person.
All right, thanks for having me.
You got it. Anytime. Check out GBUFO. And check out Kristen Leidy. Follow her on her socials and go see her do stand-up, folks. She's very funny. All right, we're coming back. We're going to read your texts and wrap this thing up, and I will tell you who is on the show tomorrow. You don't want to miss that either because I'll also be in Madison. Where are you going to be tomorrow night, Conrad?
In the same seat.
Okay. You wearing that same hat?
If the Brewers win tonight.
Fair weather.
Otherwise, I haven't been wearing it their streak, so if they lose tonight, I'm throwing it away.
Oh, you're one of those, yeah, I get it. All right, this is Peach Wobbit and Nightlight. We're coming right back, and we're going to finish up with your texts. Don't miss that, folks. It's Nightlight with Peach Wobbit on the Civic Media Radio Network. Someone's living for me.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In May, the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled that individuals, in this case Native Americans, do not have a private right of action in voting rights cases. An emergency stay was granted July 22nd, and it's likely headed to the U.S. Supreme Court. In 2021, the Turtle Mountain Band of Chippewa Indians, the Spirit Lake Tribe, and individual Native voters negotiated with the state of North Dakota to create voting districts that didn't dilute Native voting power. But after a 2023 Eighth Circuit decision in Arkansas, the state of North Dakota reneged on its deal with the tribes. That decision said only the U.S. Justice Department, not individual voters, could bring suits to enforce the provisions of the 1965 Voting Rights Act. In actuality, since 1965, individuals brought 90% of VRA cases. May 14th, a three-judge panel affirmed that individual voters cannot bring VRA cases, but it applies only in the Eighth Circuit. July 15th, the tribes and individual Native voters asked for an emergency stay from Justice Brett Kavanaugh, pending a full U.S. Supreme Court appeal request. The stay was granted July 16th. On the one hand, decades of precedent allow individuals to bring such VRA cases, but this high court's conservative majority often ignores precedent and seeks ways to neutralize VRA protections for minority voters. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's ice cream month, and did you know you can celebrate at this area stop along the state's ice cream trail? Here's the scoop.
Now, in Wisconsin, we've got 49 different licensed ice cream plants that are making it. But this map focuses in on unique stops in Wisconsin. Every one of them's got a story.
That's Pam Yonke, known as the Fabulous Farm Babe. She says the current trail includes 20 locations, each one from Hayward to La Crosse, Madison, and then north to Appleton, Green Bay, and Door County, dishes out delicious, locally made ice cream.
I've been to one or two, but I'm surprised by how few I've gotten a chance to visit, and I'm a pretty big ice cream fan.
Find the trail at the website gatherwisconsin.com and add your own local favorite there, too. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I imagine we'll talk about Superman. It's the same thing I said about F1. It's a great video. The music is great. The action's great. The CGI is great. I don't feel like they had to really develop the characters. It was fine.
I thought They did a really good job of showing Superman's, you know, humility.
I agree with you there. One of my positives, it wasn't 2 hours and 40 minutes like every other blockbuster movie this summer, but lots to like there.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back. When people think of Wisconsin, they think of cheese, according to Midwest versus Everyone's Twitter account. This is Pete Schwab at Nightlight. Welcome back. We, Con, that was interesting because I do think as unexciting as North Dakota is, and I've been there several times back when I used to do stand-up, as I said, the people are really nice, and I always had a good time going there, but there's nothing like in the topography or anything that just makes it stand out. But I am surprised Fargo, because of the movie, that seems like it should replace nothing for North Dakota. I don't know.
I would say maybe also their college football teams. I feel like a lot of people will go crazy for them, North Dakota.
Yeah. But I mean, don't you think they do that anywhere? Like,
well, I mean,
if that's all you have going for you,
because they,
you know what I mean? Like,
they don't have a, you know, a, they don't have any pro anything.
But they don't even have high school sports. That's what makes college such a... No, they're the Bison, right?
Yeah, the Bison, yeah. But they don't have any professional teams.
No, I know. They're probably all like Minnesota fans or something. But Kansas got a nothing. Illinois got Chicago. Michigan got Detroit. Indiana got race cars. Iowa got Caitlin Clark. Wisconsin got cheese. Minnesota got cold. South Dakota got Mount Rushmore. Nebraska got corn. Kansas got nothing. Missouri got nothing. That's harsh.
Yeah.
Because you do think of the arch.
I think that maybe the author of this is Wisconsin, you know, kind of a Milwaukee Brewers fan because how much we hate the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah, that could be. Because it's like Midwest versus everyone. Well, those are all Midwestern states. You should be.
I saw a lot of comments on that saying that they really don't think those two bottom states are really Midwest.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, Missouri could be the South, really.
Yeah.
Well, let's finish up some text here. Our question tonight was, what poster was on your bedroom wall when you were growing up? We've got some great responses tonight. Conrad's dad is a big fan of Aunt B. We covered that.
You're going to keep going back to that, aren't you?
I love that. Because I bought it. I'm like, oh my God, was there an Aunt B poster? Like, but why wouldn't there be? She was a wonderful person. Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids. He's in the 608. He says, my poster? How's Susan Day grab you? Hot Partridge. If there's going to be a sexual innuendo tweet or response, it's going to be from Tyler in Wisconsin Rapids. From the 920, Elvis and Evel Knievel. And oddly enough, my guidance counselor high school was Evil's cousin. Hey, that's kind of a cool bit of trivia. Pardon me. From the 920, Annie says, Bobby Sherman was much bigger than Sean or David Cassidy, especially if you had a friend named Julie. That's probably like an inside thing that I don't understand. I'm sure that's like probably one of his songs or a Partridge Family like plotline or something. I'm sorry, Annie. I would love to run with that text, but I don't think I follow you on the friend named Julie thing. But Bobby Sherman recently passed away. Bobby Sherman. Thank you as always, Annie. From the 608, then Mark from Paul R. and the Raiders. Now Kevin Costner, ND Mark Ruffalo. Does that make any sense to you, Con?
Kevin Costner and Mark Ruffalo? Maybe forgot the A?
But it's capped, like ND, like North Dakota. I don't know.
Well, Mark Ruffalo is not from 608. North Dakota.
No, he's not. But give us some clarification, if you would, if you're still listening. I'm sorry, we just didn't quite get that. Jim from Appleton says, Charlie's Angels was my poster. Kate Jackson, Farrah Fawcett, and Jacqueline Smith. The heavy three. There you go. Some heavy hitters from the 70s. Thank you, Jim. I knew somebody. That's the second one. Second text we got for the Charlie's Angels posters, though. Ollie, we talked to Ollie. Bridget from the 818 says, The Outsiders. My mom framed it for me. See, that's the difference between girls and guys. My dad never would have framed a Farrah Fawcett poster or Daisy Duke, Catherine Bach. That would have like encouraged nefarious behavior or something. He would have thought he was condoning my crushes on TV idols. Thank you, Bridget. Ross from the 608 says Lon Chaney, Werewolf, and a Yes Songs album cover poster. Well done, Ross. Very nice. Lon Chaney. I didn't know they had a Lon Chaney poster. And our buddy Chris Casper in the 608. Pete, we're in a fight. How are those Cubs doing? I'm not fighting Chris Casper. He's like twice my size. I think, you know what though? I think I could take him, Con. I hit him fast and I'd hit him low. Don't underestimate me, dude. Don't let the collared shirts fool you. I can throw down.
You are a mountain of muscle compared.
Guy, I'm a mountain muscle. That's true. Casper says, Skull.
Yeah.
He's a big Viking fan.
We don't have to do that.
So he's with you on the Brewers. He's giving me a hard time about the Cubs earlier. Listen, I'm not a Brewer hater. If they weren't in a neck and neck thing with the Cubs here, I'd probably cheer for them. But like, and I'm being serious when I say this, for them to sustain what they're doing is going to be very tough. But the Cubs could have a fall off too. I mean, I don't know. It's going to be interesting, but it's fun. Yeah. It's fun at this time of year to have a race.
It is.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And this is when I get into it, the baseball season. folks, thank you for your text. Thank you to Ben Reiser for being on the show tonight. And the always funny Kristen Lighty too. great guest tonight and great text. Everybody brought it with the poster question. Tomorrow night on the show, we've got our pal Frank Anderson from Wisconsinology.com. He is also a writer, producer, director. He is a showbiz renaissance man, ladies and gentlemen. Frank will be here tomorrow at 6:35. We're going to talk about the Davy Crockett's connection to Wisconsin. That's one of the many things I'm going to ask Frank about. And then, Conrad, you know who's coming at 7:35 in person, in the flesh.
Kalen Cole.
Kalen Cole. And we are getting a sneak peek of her new song, a sneak listen, I should say. Her new song drops in 2 days. We're getting a sneak peek tomorrow, a sneak listen tomorrow. That'll be fun. That's all on Nightlight here, live from Madison. Conrad will still be in Green Bay. Lots of fun still to come this week, so don't go away. Tune in every night and be part of the show. Always more fun when you guys participate. On behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, hey, are you going out? Are you coming down to Madison?
No, I'm going
right now.
I'm going home, eating some food, and then watching some TV.
These guys are all going to be drunk, and I'm going to be drinking club soda. You know how many of those it takes to get drunk?
A lot.
A ton. All right. Good night, Wisconsin.
Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. 2.5 years after they were murdered in their off-campus home in Moscow, Idaho, the man who killed them faces justice. Brian Koberger expected in court today, where he will be sentenced in the stabbing deaths of those four University of Idaho students in late 2022. A heat dome stretching across the central and southern parts of the U.S., affecting about 95 million people, with heat index readings over 110 degrees. And for those of us on the East Coast,
you know, it's still comfortable in the Northeast and the Mid-Atlantic. That's about to change. We go through late week, 103 that feel like reading in New York City, 104 in D.C., 106 on Saturday in Savannah. The hot weather continues into next week.
ABC News meteorologist Lee Goldberg. The House in recess until September. House Speaker Mike Johnson sending members home and continued cries of the Trump administration to release more information related to Jeffrey Epstein. A doctor accused of supplying actor Matthew Perry with ketamine before his death is expected in court today to plead guilty. This is ABC News.